The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I'm the sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I don't know. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there, here you go. What can our prayer warriors pray for you about? Now, you must be thinking they must have hundreds of people at that studio, all people lining up just waiting to hear what they can pray for. Wrong. What we have are hundreds and thousands of people who are listening to the radio show who are willing to pray, and those are the prayer warriors we're talking about. And we want our prayer warriors praying for you. If you got something going on, we don't want you to hesitate. We want you to reach out. If you've got a praise report, if you've got a prayer request, this is an excellent opportunity for you to take advantage of people who want to serve you. They want to bless you. They want to combine their faith with yours. They want to see the results. They want to turn a prayer request into a praise report. Isn't that awesome? They want to do that with you and share the gospel and be a part of one another, be brothers and sisters together. That, my friends, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ had in mind for us when he said, "By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another." That love is a testimony. Testify. That's what we need to do. So if you've got a prayer request, if you've got a praise report, if you got something to share, if you got something going on, don't hesitate. That's boring. Don't do that. If you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, don't let it die of loneliness. That's just sad. All you got to do is give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the week with great faith and expectation.
Aww.
There you go.
Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Could be a Monday fun day. We'll just see how this one flies around today. So if you've got something that you want to share, you got something you need to talk about, you need something, it's not a kvetch fest. It's an opportunity to share, to bless others, to ask others to help bless you, to ask the Lord to help us in all of our situations. If you have that going on, hey, don't hesitate. Reach out. If you don't want to make a phone call, because I know the phone is scary. Ooh. You can always text us live during the show. So right now in San Diego, it's 11:36. By the way, here's your weather. You've got it. Here's your traffic. There is some. And here in Dallas, it's 1:36. And let me give you your weather. You got it. And traffic, you also have some. In fact, I don't know where there isn't any weather or traffic somewhere. Anyhow, that's good.
That was the listeners listening to your traffic and weather report.
Yeah, they are up to date. In fact, what's great about our traffic and weather reports, they are never wrong. Ever. Bottom line, if you want to text us, do so. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice coming up right now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. Additionally, you can send an email live during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. David, nothing in front of it, nothing behind it, just David, D-A-V-I-D, at, so the A thing with the goofy thing around it. He must increase, based on John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease, he must increase, .org. .org. Why is that important? Because we are a nonprofit entity. That's why. So it's david@hemustincrease.org. So you can call us. You can text us. That's cool. You can also send us an email. We'll be doing later, the other 60 minutes, we'll be doing Jake's Take. I do want to remind people a couple of things. We have some changes in our December schedule. Please check it out on the website, by the way. We'll get you there in a little while. The reason is because there is a basketball game, I believe, that's going to be taking place, that's going to be preempting one of our shows. Plus, don't forget about Christmas and New Year's. So we're just making sure everybody stays on board, knows what's going on, knows what's taking place. In the meantime, we are going to jump into the Word of God. And you guys might not remember this, but we are now starting 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Remember the pastoral epistles. It's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. We finished Titus last week. We did 1 Timothy before that. Now we're doing 2 Timothy. Let's get into it. We enter into 2 Timothy, and most everybody understands, anybody who's worth their weight in study, understands this is Paul's last actual epistle. It's his last actual letter. And if you look close enough, you will see, you can tell. It's dated around 66 to 67 AD. It's probably helpful to understand that the main theme of this letter is the commitment to ministry. But he also wants to encourage his young protege who he loves. As Paul knows his end is getting near, he focuses on the Lord and having faith, endurance, and never being ashamed of the gospel. Like we said, this is the last of the three pastoral epistles, as 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are labeled as such. As Paul begins this epistle, he recognizes, and keep this in mind, that he's facing death if that's the Lord's will. He acknowledges that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and not by his own will. Let's just open up the beginning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. It's worth noting again that this last letter, Paul probably knows this is kind of like the last time he's going to be communicating with Timothy. He's a beloved son of Paul's in the faith. He loves him. He wants him to know. I think it's quite the honor. I bet Timothy was quite honored to receive this letter from the Apostle Paul. As he's recognizing that he's facing death, and it doesn't matter. So he's an apostle, but he's an apostle by God's will, not his own will. I'd like to make a point there. I find it always amazing that people all have this deep desire to tell other people they are an apostle. I am an apostle. I've had somebody actually come up to me and say, I just want you to know I'm an apostle. You know what my response was? So? you see, it's only impressive if you really are one. It's not that impressive if you're not. It's probably worth noting that Saul was a great example of somebody who was pulled into the kingdom of God, pulled into the kingdom of God, kicking and screaming. I had a chance to meet with Pastor Jason Collins today, this morning at his church. We talked for a few minutes, just about 45 minutes, getting to know each other a little better. He's the pastor of Cornerstone Church in Rowlett. And I told him, I said, I know that feeling well. I'm a Jewish guy, just trying to get to heaven, kind of being brought in, kicking and screaming. I fully understand that. Paul is one of the best examples of that. God dragged him in, and listen to this. God dragged him in such a way, God blinds him on the donkey, and then goes, now what? It's just like, I know, free will. I know, free will. In this case, not a lot of free will. I mean, not a lot of free will on the donkey being knocked on the ground, going blind, then God going, my turn. Okay, that's pretty much the end of that. So Paul continues and says, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So John, the Apostle John, mentions in his epistle that those who have the Son have life, and those who don't have the Son don't have life. I know many people reject Jesus because they don't like the narrow path, but that's going to be their downfall. Because if life is in Christ and Christ has been rejected, they're rejecting life. And I want you to understand that. And that's why we pray for people in our own families, our own loved ones, who we just can't believe they don't recognize Jesus. We pray for them. We go, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. And so I know many people that listen to our show, like myself, have children that are wayward. And you're just like, But you know what you don't do? You don't sit there and complain to God about the child. One thing the Lord's really been dropping on my heart lately is to stop telling God all about this son that I want him to change, and stop asking God to do it my way, and to start believing that God has a deeper, more profound plan, and that my faith can be active by praying to God and thanking God for every situation and believing that God will cause it to turn into good. That's called faith. That's called believing God. Not believing our feelings that go, I can't believe my kid's doing this. But more, God can change my child. I'm going to keep praying with persistence and conviction and confidence and thankfulness and faithfulness that he will soften his or her heart. And so Paul starts this whole letter off, and I think it's important, and you'll hear me say this about 100 times in the next 4 months. This is his last, this is the last epistle he's writing. This, he's getting down to it. And he does want Timothy to know, and he's, like they told him before, grace, mercy, and peace, baby. Grace, mercy, and peace. We always think of these as just really nice sayings, and there's so much more than that. Grace, mercy, and peace enables you to keep going. And it's that love that God has for you and that grace, mercy, and peace that he extends to you that helps you push past people that are not that fun to deal with and situations that are even worse. And so Paul, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, life is in Jesus Christ. When you became a Christian, you know what happened? You became alive. In fact, it makes so much more sense when you even connect that to you were born again. When you encountered Jesus Christ, he changed you. And you became somebody different. Now, some people, they were raised in that way, so there was a lot of consistency in character, but it's that moment where Jesus makes himself so known to you that you could never deny him. And you love him, and you want to please him. So he opens up this epistle going this direction. By the way, an epistle is not the wife of an apostle. It's a letter. And so he says, I thank God, verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my fathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you and being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul is very connected to Timothy, and I think there's a, You know, sometimes when you have a disciple or somebody that you raise in the faith or somebody you're kind of moving along, there's, you know, you're doing this from a somewhat of a practical point of view, but there's also great emotional attachments. And Paul is thinking about Timothy, and he's like, man, I pray for you all the time. That's without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day. I always think about you, bro. You're my kid. You're my kid in the faith. I just really want to see you. I'm mindful of the tears that we had when we separated. You see, all these people that try to make Paul out to be this really mean, you know, hates women, hates this, hates that, they have no idea what they're talking about. This man is full of passion, full of compassion, full of softness in his heart. And he longs to connect with his young protege. He misses him. It's like, wow. Real human. Yeah, real humans wrote the Bible under the verbal plenary process being carried along by the Holy Spirit, but without losing who they were in their personality. All right, so we're going to slow it down. Here we go. Get ready for our first trivia question. Get ready. Here we go. Let's see if you guys can get this one. Why were Ananias and his wife Sapphira struck dead? Why were Ananias and his wife Sapphira struck dead? Number one, they were telling the Christians that Peter was stealing from them. Number two, they lied about the price they had received for the land they had sold. Or number three, they refused to teach Sunday school. Wow. Is it because they were telling Christians that Peter was stealing from them? Is that they lied about the price they received for some land? Or they refused to teach Sunday school? Why were Ananias and Sapphira struck dead? If you think you know the answer, by the way, you can give us a call at 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I want you to think about this very carefully. Keep in mind what the question is. Why were Ananias and his wife Sapphira struck dead? They were telling Christians that Peter stole from them. They lied about the price they had received for some of the land. Or they refused to teach Sunday school. Okay, we do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Brother David. This is Brother John.
Hey, Brother John, how are you?
Oh, I'm okay. How about yourself?
I'm not doing too bad. I had a lot of extra studying this weekend, which sometimes that's really good. But then other times, my brain turns into Play-Doh. So it's kind of in the halfway Play-Doh segment right now. So how was your weekend?
Yeah, well, it was pretty good. I had a girl ask me or tell me that God was her reality in life. And I told her, I said, God is reality. And we're figments of his imagination because he's the one that created us.
There you go. It's all based in him, man. Life comes from you. God is the one that gave life, and in God, life continues.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
All right, you ready for the trivia question?
Oh, I got you covered, Daddy-O.
All right, here we go. I'll set it up, then you hit it out. So here we go. Why were Ananias and his wife Sapphira struck dead? Is it because they were telling Christians that Peter was stealing? Is it because they lied about the price they had received for some of the land? Or is it because they refused to teach Sunday school?
Because they lied about the land.
That is correct, Armando! They lied about it, and what's amazing about that, I know you know this, and it's so fascinating, is that they tried to come off as something more spiritual than they were, and this is the first couple in the New Testament era of the church that were struck by God for being fake. Like,
yeah,
wow.
Can you imagine? They're supposed to know who God is, and then they lied about it anyway.
Then they lied, and then can you imagine how many people in church would be dead today if God continued to do that? But people would be like, "What happened?"
Our church, no kidding. I'm probably one of them.
No, you. that stuff, but it's a classic. It's like, wow, got to be careful there. And the whole thing is just be who you are. I mean, yeah, we're a mess, but we're God's mess. That's the thing
that's
to
right.
remember, right?
That's right.
That's right, brother. Excellent job.
Hey, pray for my brother-in-law, Travis, would you?
Yeah, you want to pray? What's going on with Travis?
Well, he's been having a lot of illness, and then they found he has a lot of fluid on his brain, and they've drained it several times, and it's still not helping him. So we just need God to put his hand on him.
Let's pray. Let's do it right now. You okay?
Yes, sir. I'm with you.
All right, let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. There is no place we would rather go than to you, because you have the answers for everything, and we love you, and we appreciate you, and we know your graciousness, your kindness in our life, it just exceeds us. You're phenomenal. And we're lifting up Travis to you right now, Lord. And what's going on, they can't seem to get a handle on. It's always frustrating for everybody involved. And we are asking you to intervene, to help him. He's got fluid that's taking place on the brain. He's got a lot of sicknesses. None of those things are past you, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you would bring healing and health into Travis's body, and that there would be testimony for him doing better because of the touch that comes from you. That's what we're praying, and we're praying it with faith and expectation in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen,
I sure
brother.
I appreciate that.
You got it, man. You keep us posted, too, okay?
I'll do it. Thank you.
Thank you, bro. God bless.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. So that's what we do, folks. We take care of one another. We love one another. We help one another. We love on one another, right? That's what we got to do. Here we go. Let's go back into verse 3. We'll do DNA and following thing. Just remind me in case I lose my brain is really squishy right now, just so you can know. Not only are we going to talk sports in the next thing, which is like another Thanksgiving review, but also I did all this extra study today after meeting with the pastor, and my brain is like, it's like a sponge cake, but not in an absorbing way. More in a, hey, it's slipping off the plate way. All right. Anyway, let's get back into this text, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we are going to pick it up again. Let's do it at verse 3. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you. So there's a couple of breakdowns here. I want to really go through that, and maybe we can understand that. The apostle mentions that he thanks God that he's serving God with a pure conscience. That does not mean that he never does anything wrong. And for those that are saying, oh, well, see, he never does anything wrong, he doesn't say that. That's not true. Don't put words in the apostle's mouth. Just read the book. We can see in multiple writings of Paul that he's not perfect. It's not that he's confused in his conscience about serving God or proclaiming Christ. He's very diligent in that. Doesn't mean his conscience never goes, yo, no, yo, bad. Right? That's that conscience that's inside you, God's greatest preacher, your greatest preacher ever, better than any preacher you've ever heard, the one that's inside your heart and mind right now, that's the best preacher ever. But he's serving God with a clear conscience, saying, I am doing this for the Lord. Now, if your conscience challenges you and says, you're just doing this, that's not good. You got to do this for the Lord. So he says, I'm serving God. I'm proclaiming Christ. He tells Timothy how much he loves him. He's praying for him night and day, just desiring to see him. Sometimes a person's presence in the room can make the difference. Let me just say this is really important. Sometimes when you go to church, just being there makes a difference for other people. Did you know that? When Noelle is in the room with me, I feel better. When other Christians are in the room with other Christians, they feel better. Do you get that? It's huge. And then this is this verse four part is just like, you have to love this because I only got like a minute, so I want to make sure I get this done. Paul mentions Timothy's faith is genuine. That means it's authentic. That means it's real. There's nothing fake going on here. He's got a genuine, sincere faith. Got to love that, right? That genuine faith that's in you, Timothy. And it was there because why? Because his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice passed on the genuineness of their faith to this young minister. That is what we want to be able to pass on to our kids. Not that we are super duper fakey righteous people. Not that we live in churchianity, but that there's a genuineness to our faith. And when we are up against the wall and there's nowhere else to go, we turn to God in the name of Jesus Christ, the real part. Get it? All right. If you're in San Diego, hang out with us. You just go to hemusincrease.org. You click on hang out. If you're in Dallas, just hang out with us. We're going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
When Joshua was trying to figure out, you know, the Lord and his decision for the Lord, and he was doing pretty good and had good training, he made a decision to follow the Lord. Then he made a decision that he wanted to really commit to devotions. I told him I was proud of him for that. That's his own decision. He has to make that call. Nobody can choose that. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and this is one of the most bizarre statements. You're never going to hear a more bizarre statement. I hope this gets on the radio. You know, you can be born and raised Jewish. You can be born and raised Italian. You can be born and raised in many different things, but you can't be born a Christian. Can't do it. Because you have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. There's no being born a Christian. That doesn't work. That's a lie. You have to make a choice, an individual choice. Your 15 generations of your family could be Christians. When you're born, that does not make you a Christian. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you become a Christian. You understand that difference? It was just something that dawned on me, like, you know, people don't talk that way. Well, he was born in a Christian family. That doesn't mean he's a Christian. Plenty of murderers came out of Christian families. That doesn't mean a thing. That's nothing. But anyway, going back to it, I had to share that because that thought that just really struck me as odd. But the power of our words is so noticeable. And Jesus says, hey, you know, I got one for you. By your words, you're going to be justified. And by your words, you're going to be condemned. So my question to pose is why? That's so forceful and brutal. And the answer is in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew, you guys like that one, huh? Like that. I can tell below. I like that. Matthew chapter 15, here's the reason. Verse 18, Matthew 15, 18 says this. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And the reason that Jesus said, by your words you will be justified and by your words you'll be condemned, is because your words reveal what's in your heart. And you will know, you can listen to other people and know by their speech. And I'm not even talking about coarse language. I'm not talking about swearing. I'm not even talking about any of that. I'm not even necessarily talking about negative speech. I'm talking about you will know a person's heart by what they say.
The David Spoon Experience.